If we haven't met before, I'm lay pioneer for the Ely team. As part of that, I lead Christ Church, which is Mary's daughter church. I'm also training to be a priest at Ridley Hall in Cambridge. Someone thought that was a good idea. But let's begin with a prayer. Loving God, please take what I have prepared and speak through it. I pray that it would be your will in this moment, not mine. In your name, amen. Amen. So, as I've already said, I got to watch one of my favourite films this week as we get ready for Christmas. There's nothing particularly Christmassy about the film. It just feels like the right time of year to watch it. And so the big question is, how do you solve a problem like Maria? It's a big question, really, one that the nuns at the Abbey were quite perplexed over. Because, you know, she was wearing curlers under her wimple. But then when you see her hair, she's got very short hair. So I don't understand where these curlers were going, but then I am not one to talk. So maybe I could give it a go, a little curler. She is late to chapel. She's late for prayers, although never late for meals. I like that. That's very good. I can't be late for things at Ridley because there's a bell that goes, and then you know you've got about 5 minutes to get somewhere quick. Otherwise, you'll be late. And then the biggest one that I think is that she has been caught singing around the abbey. Shock, horror. I don't know if you've ever been to an abbey. I have been to kind of monastery places. When we were little, my parents thought it was a great idea to take two small boys to quiet monasteries on days out. That is not a good idea. We used to like to play peekaboo monk, which is where, bear with me, we would hide behind a tree and then jump out at one another and say, yell peekaboo, as if a monk would do it. I can't explain it. I don't think we'd ever actually met a monk, but this is what we imagined they filled their time with around the monasteries. Don't crush it for me, that's what they do. But anyway, they're very quiet, serene places, very prayerful, very peaceful. And so you can imagine that Maria's voice singing round this abbey was probably quite loud, and it probably echoed around the old buildings, and it probably caused quite a stir. You probably hear it for reverberating amongst the abbey. And this got me thinking about John the Baptist. A little bit of history. So John was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And just to fill you in on that saga a little bit, Elizabeth is quite old. Then she gets pregnant by the grace of God. An angel comes. And then there's a whole thing where Zechariah has to go silent. God takes away his voice. And they're like, what should we name the baby? And they're like, John. But no one in your family is named John. And then it must come from God. Yada, yada, yada. That's basically how that happens. And then they're kind of related cousins. Elizabeth and Mary, Jesus's mum, are cousins. That's just to fill in a bit of the family tree. And we're in a very turbulent time in the Roman world. What was his name? Tiberius is governor, and apparently he was quite ruthless. He wasn't a very nice person ruling the place. So we're in a bit of an odd time is where we find ourselves. But here comes John, and John should have been a priest because his dad was a priest, and we should have just followed the line down. That was kind of how it worked in those days. But instead, he goes off to do something completely different. He goes off to be a prophet. And he's the one who's talked about in the Isaiah prophecy about being a voice in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to admit, I don't really like this phrase, a voice in the wilderness, because I think it sounds a little bit like someone whispering in the desert. Like, I don't, like, a bit like, you know, in those desert films where people are just wandering, like, help, help. Like, it doesn't have that greater impact, really, does it? Someone gently whispering in the desert. It doesn't sound very impactful. It doesn't really sound like anything very impressive. But we can also translate the word voice to mean thunder. Now we're talking, because thunder in the desert, well, you can't escape that, can you? That crashes and it rolls. You know when a thunderstorm is happening. You can't escape it. Thunder is dramatic and it leaves everything it has touched kind of shaken. You know when you've been in a thunderstorm. And something I really like is that thunder makes way for lightning. And the whole thing about John the Baptist is that he makes the way for Jesus. Jesus is like the lightning. I quite like that. I like that anyway. But anyway, so here we have John, and he is thundering around in the desert. He wears camel hair, which is quite snazzy. No, it's not. I'm not going to wear camel hair anytime soon. But this is great. We've got this lovely story about John. But I'm like, what on earth has this got to do with Advent? And what on earth has this got to do with us? Let's start with Advent. So we're in this season of Advent where we kind of get ready for to celebrate the birth of Jesus when the incarnation happens. Oh, sorry, it's a car outside. I was like, someone mooing. And we're getting ready for the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, Jesus arriving here on earth for the first time. But kind of in parallel, we're also getting ready for the second coming. We're getting ready for this time when Jesus will return again, and this kingdom that we are taught about and we are led to dream and believe about will exist in its fullness. It's this beautiful kingdom, which is sometimes we see and sometimes we don't. And it's a place where there is no more weeping and there is singing all the time, and it is a beautiful, beautiful place of joy. And I'm very excited about it. And what John is doing, John has a message that he is sharing with everybody. And it is kind of prepare yourself, because one is coming after me who is even greater, and you need to be ready to meet him. John is a bit like one of those giant pointy sign arrows being like, it's not about me, it's about him who's coming after me. Not about me, it's about him who's coming after me. And what John's message is all about is about turning away from the things that you might have got caught up with. And through this transition of baptism, which is really important and really crucial, actually, in the history of the Jewish people. Because every time something quite major has happened, they have passed through water. If you think about the Exodus, they left this place where they were held captive and they were kind of in exile. And they passed through into heading towards the promised land. They passed through water. And John is offering them something very similar, to pass through water and prepare themselves for a new life ahead of them, which I think is very exciting. And Maria, I think, does something a little bit similar. Bear with me. Maria goes into a kind of a really sad place where all joy has been sucked out of it in the Von Trapp household. And she brings music into that place, and she brings joy into that place, and shows them just how living could be. And there is that gorgeous moment when Captain Von Trapp picks up his guitar and he sings Edelweiss to his children, and it's just beautiful. And it's like joy and love and hope and peace have sparked back into this family. And that's all great. That's a bit about Advent, and that's a bit about Maria, lovely, who's not in the Bible, by the way, just to clarify. There are Marys in the Bible, but not a Maria. Anyway, but then what's this got to do with us? Well, I think we are each called to be John the Baptist in our own unique way. By which I mean that we are called to be like a little foretaste, like the entree to the main course of the coming kingdom. We are called to live out in this world those Advent themes of hope and joy and peace and love all the way around us. We're called to like be a little like tasting platter, ready for the main course, which is this kingdom to come. And we each need to find our own way to do this. I have found mine. I'm not expecting you all to do this, but I have found my way. I have a little cup here, which says, I was not made to be subtle, and I wasn't. When God made me, God did not make me the shy and retiring type. In fact, one day I was searching online, and I found this beautiful coat. Ah, this is my winter's coat, and I love to wear this coat around town, and I love that people smile when they see me in this coat, particularly when I pair it with this hat. And I love it, and I love going around town in my hat, and in my hat and in my coat, and seeing that people smile as I kind of breeze through the drizzly rain or the glum December day. People smile, and sometimes people stop me and we have a little conversation about my coat, and then which is nice, and then sometimes that conversation goes on and we have a little chat about Jesus, because it's very exciting, because no one expects this to be a Christian. So it's very exciting that I get to be like, oh yes, and wait, for I'm going to be a priest, and they're like, no, yes. And I love that as I get to work my way through town sometimes, I get to bring a little bit of joy into people's life just by putting a little very luminous coat on that I adore so much. But we each need to find our own way to live out those Advent themes, to be a foretaste of the coming kingdom, just like John was. I'm going to turn to Maria just for a moment. There's a point in the film where Maria has returned to the abbey and she has a little bit of a falter. She's not quite sure what she's doing. And the Reverend Mother, who is brilliant, absolutely brilliant, asks Maria kind of what she's learned during her time at the abbey. And Maria says that the whole point is to find out the will of God and to do it wholeheartedly. Oh, and that is just beautiful. And that is my prayer for each and every one of us, to find out God's will for our lives and then just commit to it and do it wholeheartedly. We see it in Maria, who realizes that her call is perhaps not to the abbey, but is to the Von Trapp family and to bring joy into that place. We see it in John, who realizes that he is not meant to be a priest, but he hears the word of God and knows that he is meant to be this thunder that calls people to baptism and calls people to a new life, getting them ready for Jesus who is coming after him. And I know that I'm called to just slightly shock people in what a Christian can look like and can be. And I am so excited that I get to be a priest one day, hopefully. If I pass my essays and things, it's all going to be fine. And that I will get to kind of wear things like this with and be really exciting out in the world and change the face of Christianity for some people that I get to meet. And that is very exciting. And then I get to show them that God can call someone like me and that maybe God has a will for their life too. And it's all so exciting. But so I long that you would find what God is calling you to do. And then when you hear that, and you may have already discovered it, and well done, excellent. And then commit to it wholeheartedly. Throw your whole lot in. May I pray for you? Well, you don't get a choice. I'm going to do it anyway. Loving God, we thank you for those that have gone before us, for people like John the Baptist who have heard your call and committed to it wholeheartedly and then brought good things to the people around them. And I pray for each and every one of us that we would do the same, that we would hear your call, your will for our lives, and that we would throw our lot in with you, commit to it wholeheartedly, and live out those Advent themes in our communities, with our friends, our families, our colleagues, our neighbors, that we would be people who bring hope, joy, peace, and love to those we meet. In your name, amen. Amen.